Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Sheila Coley with the Next Chapter Widows Ministry. I'm standing in this evening for Mary Hollis. I want to share with you a little information about the Next Chapter Widows Ministry. We were created to help women recover from the loss of that special someone, which was their husband. Widows have no specific identity. Widows may be young or old, poor or wealthy. They may be with or even without children. A widow's loss could have been expected or it could have been sudden. While there are many diverse situations, the common link is the marital relationship that was created regardless of the number of years that you were married. The emotional distress can be overwhelming when someone you have shared secrets with, made love with, laughed with, been angry with, and a host of other scenarios. When that person passes, the person is missed. No one can feel that emptiness. Who understands? Who can I talk to, you may ask? Who can help me with all of the many details? How do I even begin to cope? These challenges is what gave birth to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry. It is time to turn to the next chapter in your life. We are here to help you do just that. God is the giver of life. We are here to help you with making those adjustments to those things that you have to do next. God is the one who will take care and help you through all of those details along with the Next Chapter Widows Ministry. Spiritual insight and the personal experience of our facilitators, we want you to feel assured that you are not alone. The Next Chapter shows you love through regular encouragement and information about those many decisions of the first 3 years. So we want to welcome you tonight. Tuesday, March the 1st, 2016, to our Blog Talk Radio show. We thank you for calling in or listening in by on your computer. Mary Hollis, who is our director, is taking the evening off. She's actually working the election, so we want to let you know it's Super Tuesday, and Mary is out there working those elections, and she's probably finishing up at the polls now. And we hope you got out to vote today. But we have something special we want to talk to you about today. We want to talk to you about your heart, that thing, that organ in you or that muscle in you that pumps blood in and out, that part of your body that causes you to sustain your life. And when I think about the word heart, we use the heart in so many different ways. But there's a particular scripture that I want to refer us to tonight. It's in the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 4, verse 23. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it tells us that we have to guard our heart depending upon what version you have. It may say something a little different, but it means it wants you to guard your heart. It wants you to guard it with all vigilance. And they want the word wants you to guard it diligently. And we have to do that because out of that comes the many issues of life. And when I think about the issues of life, we have so many issues that go on in our lives and our health and our family circumstances and our finances, on our job and our community, churches with our children and other friends. And so many of those issues come out of our heart. And the Apostle Paul also talks about the heart quite a bit when he talked about women. In the book of 1 Peter, we talk about Peter talked about how women are just so careful about making sure we look good. We want to make sure the hair is right. We want to make sure the lipstick is on, no smudges. Make sure our clothes match. It would be nice if our nails got a chance to get done. A nice mani-pedi would be nice, especially for favorite occasions. And to make sure that we're doing just so well so that when we walk past that mirror, we're very satisfied with what we see. But he also cautioned us that we would spend so much time working on the outside, that we may just not spend enough time working on the inside of the things that we need to do. So the word cardia is spelled K-A-R-D-I-A. That's a Greek word for the word heart. And Peter is telling us that we should have the heart, which is one of our central vital organs of the body. It's the part of us that's invisible to what we can see. So when we're walking past, we don't really see that heart. It's inside of our bodies, behind our skin, behind some bones to protect it. But it has a very direct impact on everything that we do in life. It's part of that human spirit that's very similar to the things that give us feelings and give us our emotions. It's a very vital part of our life. And sometimes we use the word I feel. And when we talk about I feel, we're talking about some of those emotions and feelings that are generated from the heart. And the heart is always pumping blood to every part of our body. And just like the heart does that in the physical, in the spiritual, the heart is pumping feelings through every aspect of life, how we feel about things, how we see things, those things that we enjoy doing. And there's a song that says, Lord, give me a clean heart. And so we often pray that we want a clean heart so we can adequately serve God. And so let's go back and look at our the verse that we're focusing on this evening is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And he says, guard your heart. And I used to always say there are so many things that God had told us, could have told us to guard. But he said guard the heart. And when I think about guarding the heart, what does that really mean? Sometimes we want to be on a defensive and we struggle with relationships because we don't want to be hurt. And so we become very difficult to get close to. And so when I think about God is saying, guard your heart, guard your heart. So what do we do? Do we walk around with our arms, you know, placed above our heart? Do we not open up and share our feelings? And especially after you experience a loss and there's grief and there's some stress in your life, you're very tender and you're very sensitive to a lot of things. So we may want to guard it a little bit more. But when you want to guard your heart, you want to guard it so that the things that may occur in your life don't affect you so much so that you're incapable of serving God adequately. You're incapable of serving others adequately. And so there's all kinds of hearts we can have. The Bible speaks about that hardened heart. In the Bible, it also suggests that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but it said God hardened his heart so that he couldn't hear Moses. When Moses said, God said, let my people go, Pharaoh couldn't hear that because his heart had become so hardened. There are sometimes we, in our lives, we have become hard-hearted towards people or towards situations. And so we, our prayer life should be asking God to soften our hearts towards people or situations or certain circumstances that we may have had to experience in our life. A stony heart is a heart that can't hear from God. It's a heart that can't serve God. And so we always want to search our heart. David, in the book of Psalms 139, he said, search me, O Lord. And so included in that searching me is searching our heart. And then we want to think about we could have maybe even an unbelieving heart. An unbelieving heart is that part of our heart that just won't accept God's word as being true, that won't accept what he says that's good for us. As widows, you may sometimes become a little unbelieving because how could something like that have happened to you? It was not the appropriate time. It was an inconvenient time. It left you in such a difficult situation. So you have to guard your heart against it becoming hardened or becoming unbelieving. An unbelieving heart can be an evil heart because one that won't hear from God is left to its own thoughts, its own feelings. And we know when we no longer hear from God and
it's what we think and it's what we decide and it's what we want to do. That's a very dangerous place. And we might want to ask God to just help me, to help that part of me that is unbelieving, help that part of me that is not kind. Another heart that you may have is a heart that is open and warm, a clean heart, a heart that is receptive to what the Word of God says. And that's a heart we always want to have. We want to have a heart that when God speaks to us, we can hear him. We also could have a giving heart. A giving heart is that heart that when people are in need, we give. When God tells us that he wants us to do something, giving to give to someone, maybe it's resources, maybe it's time, maybe it's information, maybe it's encouragement. Whatever it is that you are in search of, God is often asking you to give up something in exchange for what it is that we are also asking God for. So when we think about just that heart that we have that's so necessary, some of our widows' spouses died as a result of a heart attack. When I was thinking about this lesson or this talk tonight, Mary's husband died from a heart attack. And it's when that part of our heart ceases to function properly, we can no longer live. And so in the spiritual realm, if our heart has become hardened or it's not functioning properly, it starts to take life away from us. It affects our happiness. It affects our joy. It affects our relationship with others. We have to sometimes be in a place where we give God our heart and says, you know what? There's a chance that if I trust or if I let my heart be open to someone, I can get hurt by that. I can become distressed. I can become uncomfortable. But the one thing I love about God is that he's a healer. And when your heart has been broken, when your heart has been challenged, we can always go to God, and God can mend the broken heart. So we want you to take time and consider, what type of heart do you have? What type of heart would you like to have? What changes in your life do you need to make to have a heart that when God looks at it, it's a heart that's pure, it's a heart that's clean, it's a heart that's free of malice, free of envy, free of strife, free of jealousy, free of those things that interfere with us doing the work of the Lord. So tonight, when you're in your prayer time before you turn in, get a pen, get a piece of paper, and write down some of the things that you do in the course of, you know, a course of a week. Write down, you know, maybe you belong to a Bible study group, maybe you volunteer for an organization, maybe you work, maybe you help with your children or your grandchildren. Just take a look at your schedule and look at those things that you do in maybe just a week's time. Just make a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10. Some of us are so busy, we may have 20, 30 things on that list. But just to make a list of all those things you do, and then draw a line, you know, down a piece of paper. And on the other side of that list of what you have, write down why you do what you do. You know, these are the reasons why I do what I do. And you'll come to find that you'll start to understand what's really in your heart. Are the reasons why you do things is to get attention, to in order to fulfill an obligation? Is it for reasons such as, if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it, and it has to get done? Think about why you do things. Sometimes we do things because we want to be nosy and we want to get involved in a situation to find out what's really going on. Sometimes we do things because we just feel like we're the only ones that's capable of doing it. But we want you to give yourself some time to figure out why is it that you're really doing those things that you're doing. It would be nice that if our schedule was filled with things that we do because God has required us to do it, those things that we do because it gives God honor and it gives him glory, even if it's washing the dishes. You know, Lord, I just thank you for these dishes that are in my sink. I thank you that you're giving me running water so I can wash them. You're giving me the ability to stand and start looking at why we do things, and that'll help us understand the heart that we have. So I just want to encourage you on that this evening and to let you know that as we do that, then we can start to tie that into the second part of that verse where it talks about because out of those reasons are the issues of life. I was chatting with someone this week, and she was saying, you know, the things that she had to do, and she was a little bit bothered by the fact that she had to do it because she felt like it was the role of someone else to do it. And, you know, through our conversation, I was hoping that I could convey to her what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to serve others. And maybe our reward we miss out on because the reasons that we do things are not actually the reasons that we should have, and we do them out of frustration, and we do them for reasons that would cause our reward when we get to heaven to be affected by that. So just, you know, take time to do that. If you can't do it tonight, we certainly want you to do it at some point. And be prayerful and pray the prayer that David prayed, Lord, give me a clean heart. The songwriter says, so I can serve thee. We know that we are always not worthy, but what we do know is because God's blood that was shed for us makes us whole and restores us to a place where we are in line with where God would want us to be. So that's what we wanted to share with you this evening. Just take some time and ponder on that thought this week. We just came out of February, and February we celebrated Valentine's Day. And if you were here in the Atlanta area with us, you would have joined us as we celebrated Valentine's Day, and it's a time of love, and it's a time where we use candy and roses and cupids and lots of, and we wear red to signify that we love one another. But when I think about what greater love can we have than to show somebody that we love them by having a warm, loving heart. So that's what we want to leave you with this evening. Have a clean heart, have an open heart, have a warm heart, have a giving heart, have a loving heart. Do not have a hardened heart. Do not have an evil heart. Do not have an unbelieving heart. Thank you so much for listening in. There's a couple of announcements that I know Mary wants me to give you all on this coming month. Coming up, we will be having an outing for the Widows Group. Those details, I'm sure she's going to send out, so we just want to make sure you put that on your calendar. I think that would be the third Saturday in March is our next event. That would be March the 19th. March the 19th is our next event. Also, the next set of deposits are due for our cruise in September. We will be cruising in September, and your deposits, your next deposit is due. If you still want to go and you haven't paid any deposit, then you need to pay your initial deposit plus your first, your next deposit payment. And the final announcement is that if you have a story that's going to be in our book, releases has been mailed out to everyone. So if you have your release, we ask you to please complete that as soon as possible and get that back to Mary, because that's what we need from a legal standpoint in order to get our book published and have all the releases done to that. And in conclusion, it is tax season, and as always, we want our widows to know that I'm available to help you if you have any tax issues, you have any tax questions or any financial issues or questions. If you're not sure what your filing status should be or how things should change if your spouse died in 2015 and you want to know what's taxable, what's not taxable. We certainly want you to, you know, just get in contact with me, and I'll be more than happy to help you with that information. So we thank you so very much for tuning in. We want you to tune in again and invite somebody. As you go along the week, if you run into someone who has experienced a loss, even if it's not the loss of a husband, we want you to invite them to tune in. You can always listen to us by phone or on your computer. I want you to have a good night. Let you know that God loves you, and so does the next chapter. God bless you.